Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we look this morning at this teaching of Jesus, which promises the life-changing power of your word, we pray that that promise will be fulfilled for us this morning, that we will know our lives change, that our lives will bear good fruit from your word that pleases you, that we will give evidence of our relationship with you. Lord, we pray that your word may do its work in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a lot of worry today about the bird flu and so on, isn't there? And it's not just the bird flu. This week, the possibility of the bird flu prompted a debate on Radio 4's Moral Maze, which I don't make a point of listening to, but I happened to be in the car or something like that, and it was all about the issue of fear and fear taking over society. Also this week, Prince Charles has given voice to the environmental concerns that many people have, and the papers have been full of worry about the state of our world. The Independent on Sunday asked last week, "Is this the end of the world? Earthquakes, hurricanes, floods, what is happening to our planet?" And at Sunday Times magazine, Brian Appleyard warns that things are only likely to get worse. "Oil is running out. The climate is changing at a potentially catastrophic rate. Wars over scarce resources are brewing. A new dark age is lying in wait for ourselves and our children." Now, as Christians, we might not necessarily share all of Brian Appleyard's ideas, but we might be glad that sometimes people notice that all is not well with our world. It's not all running smoothly and according to our human plans. And in fact, perhaps they're latching on to the fact that we are living in the last days of the late great planet Earth. Someone has woken up and smelled the coffee. Well, over the last few weeks, as we've been going through Mark's Gospel, we've seen that the heart of Jesus' message is very closely related to that. It's, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is here. Repent and believe the good news." Not just the end of this world, but the beginning of the new one, the kingdom of God, where everything is right according to God's plan. Many people, as we've seen in the Gospel, haven't responded rightly to what Jesus is saying, however. Some have no doubt repented and believed, but many have not. Some have been indifferent. Some just turn up for the show to see a few exciting healings. Some have become downright hostile. And last week we saw, as Pete sort of put it, that Jesus decided to stop and then start afresh, start anew. Jesus decided to stop and start afresh with a new group of people who would be the new people of God, who would respond to his words. But it raises a question for us. If I want to be in this new people of God, if I want to be in the kingdom of God in the day when it comes, if I want to be kept safe through the destruction of our present world, how am I responding to Jesus' words? Think about my Bible reading and listening to sermons. I think of when I'm just mulling over something which I know God has revealed in his word. Is it changing me? That's the issue at the heart of Jesus' teaching today. Now, Jesus says in this passage, "Listen," or "hear," or basically, "If you've got ears, use them." You know, he's headlining what he's saying. He says that about 8 times. That's the burden of his message. He wants people to sit up and to listen to him so that they will be people in his new family, in the new kingdom of God. Now, he gives us, in this long passage that we read this morning, 3 reasons why we need to listen. And it will be helpful if you have this open. We're on page 10. And if you can follow it through, that will help you make sure that you're listening to him and not just to me. First reason that he gives us is in the parable of the sower, verses 1 to 20. Essentially, he's telling us, listen, because your life depends on it. Now, it's important for us to understand, first of all, that in this parable of the sower, it is the parable of the sower. Ultimately, the focus is on Jesus himself, the sower. Jesus' point isn't that we just tune in to anything and listen, but that we tune in to him. We listen to him because it's his word that makes us part of God's family. Now, the thing about listening, it sounds very easy, doesn't it? It sounds, you almost can't help listening. I mean, I suppose some of you could put your hands over your ears now and try and block out the sound of me if you really wanted to. But surely, you know, what do you do? I mean, it's like watching telly, isn't it? You just sit back and the sound waves hit your eardrums. I mean, what is, you know, what's the big deal about listening? But of course, Jesus is talking about listening, not just with the ears, but with the heart. Listening to him means accepting what he's saying and letting what he's saying change your life and change the way that you relate to God. And there are three things that Jesus points up in this parable of the sower that can be barriers to us listening to God's word. Three things which Jesus says can stop us responding to him and becoming part of the people of God. The first is in verse 15. Flick your eyes down to that. Seeds on the path, snatched up by the birds, taken away by Satan. Immediately they're sown. What Jesus is talking about here essentially is not considering the word. Not really considering it. That's the first barrier. Many people don't consider the word at all. They have a set of predetermined beliefs that filter out anything from God's word. Or perhaps they've had a painful experience in the past or disappointment of some kind, and they can't bear to even think of considering something that God has to say. Or maybe they sense the kind of changes that will be involved if they really listen to what God is saying to them, and they shut it out. Jehovah's Witness lady came to my door the other day. She probably wished that she hadn't. I had sort of just a few minutes. But the interesting thing was that I couldn't really engage her in a proper discussion. You know, I tried to really discuss and debate and to hear one another and to try and move things forward, but anything that I said was met with by an automated response, a kind of this is the line I have been told to say, and I just couldn't break through the barrier because there was training that every time I said something it was hold on, and out came a response. I wasn't really talking to her, I was talking to the person who trained her. But of course, it's easy to sort of look over the fence and see other people, but of course you and I do it as well. We read the Bible and we read a passage maybe saying the most amazing truths, and yet we read it and we think, yeah, I know that bit. I'm familiar with all that. Or we hear a sermon and we think, oh good, he said the right thing. He needs to hear that. I'm glad he's saying that for their sake. Or perhaps we are sitting listening to it and thinking, well, this isn't very funny. I don't know why I bothered to turn up this morning. It's not entertaining at all. Or we get some challenge from God's word and we don't really consider it. We let it challenge us at the time, but then, yeah, great, it's coffee time. Or, you know, we walk out the door and it's time for something else and we ignore it. Because we've already got perhaps some good reason why we don't let this one really move us on. It does seem incredible, doesn't it, that anyone could hear the Almighty, Holy God speak and not consider it. Not weigh it, not let it impact us, not be moved, not be thrown to our knees from what we're hearing. It's the word of God. God is speaking to us. But you and I do it all the time. We hear the word and immediately the birds come and snatch away the seed and it's gone. Seems incredible, but we do it all the time. There's the barrier of not considering the word. The second barrier is in verses 16 and 17. again, just have a quick look down. It's an immediate response to Jesus, but there's no root, and persecution or trouble causes them to fall away. The barrier of not counting the cost. Now, I've seen this many times, and not least in running Christianity Explores, and it's one of the great sadnesses of running something like that, that some people will come to a real living faith. Some will seem to come to a living faith, and you've got such joy that they've really become Christians. And then a little bit further down the track, you see that there are no real changes, perhaps, happening in their life. And then you realise that they're not moving on because there's some difficulty, some trouble, and they hadn't really counted the cost, and they drift away. Could be stress in a friendship, some commands that they find hard to obey, some lifestyle that's threatened. Most often, interestingly, and I think we always have to keep this as a real warning, it's a sexual or romantic relationship that's under threat. And their faith dies. They heard the word, but somehow they only took out the good bits, and they didn't really weigh the hard bits. And again, it's easy to get into that with our Bible reading. We're looking for what we want to hear, but we ignore the hard bits. We're looking for what we want to hear instead of hearing what God wants to say. To listen properly means weighing the cost now in our hearts and saying yes now, so that when the day comes, we've already accepted it, we've already given it up, and the challenge is past. You make the response while you're hearing God's word. You let its roots go deeper. That's the answer to the barrier of not counting the cost. But the third barrier Jesus mentions here is in verses 18 to 19. If you cast your eyes down there, you see it is those who are among the thorns, who let the cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things choke the word. That's the barrier of not making Jesus' word your priority. See, all these other things are good things, but they can easily drift into the centre of your life and dominate it. I wonder, did anyone here, when they were at school, have a careers class? I don't know whether that was just my school or whether that was a regular thing. Did anyone sort of put down, you know, I want to be a full-time warrior? Probably not. And yet, some of us look as if we've got vocational degrees in it. You know, we look as if we've studied full-time to be able to worry as much as we do. And I guess a few of us actually, when we committed ourselves to Christ, really thought, you know, I'm becoming a Christian so that I have a comfortable life. And yet, we're still surprised every time when life isn't comfortable and we say, where is God? Have we ever been deceived by riches? I find that a struggle all the time. They're powerful and they're subtle, aren't they? The advertisers wouldn't spend money on them if they weren't. But the word may have taken root. We may have counted the cost. Perhaps we gave up a lot for Christ in our hearts or in reality, but our attention has slipped and other things now take centre stage. So anyone from the outside, they would think that we had faith in something else, perhaps. The word isn't bearing fruit. Our lives aren't looking different to the people that we were at school with or the people that we work with. The barrier of not making Jesus' word your priority. Three things that you can keep you out of Jesus' family on the day his kingdom comes. Not considering the word, not counting the cost, not letting Jesus' word be your priority. But Jesus' word does have great power to bring you into God's kingdom and to make you fruitful for God. That's the exciting point of verse 20. Those on good soil hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. If you let the word be snatched away or cave into other pressures or let other things take centre stage, you'll be left out of the kingdom. But the word has great power to save you and to give you a life that bears fruit for eternity. If we didn't believe that, we wouldn't be here today and I wouldn't be bothering preaching. And this is the word that can save your life. You might know the story, maybe you saw the film or just heard about it, of the Apollo 13 space mission. It was more exciting than actually landing on the moon, and more people tuned in and followed the story. It was the space mission that went wrong because of an explosion and some of the fuel cells got blown away, and the crew had to use their lunar craft basically as their lifeboat to get them back down to planet Earth. Now, from where they were sitting in the ship, there was no way that they would know how to get themselves back to Earth. There was no way they could work it out. They couldn't work out, you know, all the trajectories and the gravity and that sort of thing in order to get the moon's gravitational field to pull them round and slingshot them back to Earth. They were totally dependent on the instructions that were coming through on the radio. Now, in that situation, you can bet your bottom dollar that they weren't sort of like putting their Walkmans on and saying, you know, I'll listen to the Houston announcement later. They didn't get lazy about listening. You can imagine, they hung on every word. Someone started speaking on the radio, because they knew that their lives depended on it. This was the word that could save their lives. Now, our need to listen surely is so much greater. It's not just our earthly lives that's at stake, it's our eternal lives that's on the line. We may not realise what's at stake when we listen to the Bible. If we allow ourselves to be hard-hearted or faithless or concerned with other things, we'll miss out on God's kingdom. But if we hear and accept the word and put it into action, we'll one day see this vast harvest in our own lives for the glory of God. So in those first verses, Jesus is saying, listen. Your life depends on it. Let's move on and look at the second reason Jesus gives us to listen to him. Verses 21 to 25. Jesus is saying, listen, because Jesus' words more than repay the efforts you put in. It's a short, snappy title, isn't it? Pete was complaining about his titles last week. Mine are much, much longer. Listen, because Jesus' words more than repay the effort you put in. Now, if you're anything like me, you might agree in your mind, you know, as we sit here, yes, it's very important to listen to God's word. But when it comes to the practical business of actually reading the Bible, listening to a sermon or in it, thinking about what we were looking at on Sunday, you know, as you're doing the washing up halfway through the week or praying about something while you're walking to work or whatever, you often just lack motivation. But I know in my mind that it's worth it, the Bible tells me so, but I'm tired and I can just flop down in front of the TV and that's so much easier and so much more appealing. Or I try and read in my quiet time and I read and read a little passage from the Bible and I think, well, it's not really doing anything for me. All right, well, I'll pray for Jack. Now, Jesus knows this. He knows that we've got this problem, which is why in these verses he builds on the last point of the previous parable, the abundant fruitfulness that comes from God's word. To someone who's lacking motivation, I'd probably rather eat a Mars bar a lot of the time than read God's word, if I'm being honest. Someone who's lacking motivation or lacking faith in what God's word's going to do as they read, he brings us back to God's purpose in giving us the Bible. Have a look at verses 21 to 22. And he said to them, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Well, where are your lamps? Do you keep them under a basket? Do you keep them under the bed? You put them on a lampstand, don't you? You put a light in a place where that you're sure that it's going to be useful so that you can see by. The purpose of a lamp is to make things light, to illuminate things. Jesus is saying the purpose of his words is to give spiritual light in the knowledge of God. God doesn't intend to keep things hidden from you. He intends you to hear and to understand things and to come to know him better. So if our Bible reading is dull and lifeless and useless and dark, where ultimately will the problem lie? Now, a little clue, it's not on God's side. Okay, he's given us the light of the Bible in order that we'll understand. So in verse 24, he presses the point home. Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. There's no hold up on God's side. Jesus is saying God's light is shining. He wants you to know him better. The knowledge of God is there for you. And the more you listen, in verse 24, the more you get. The more you engage with it, the more you put into hearing it, the more you'll get out. The less you pay attention, the more your spiritual life will shrink. We need to remember that when we come to read the Bible. Athletes spend hours, days, years preparing because they believe that one day they're going to have a shot at the big prize. They believe that one day they might win. They believe it's worth it. And that drives them on at 5 o'clock in the morning. But we've got a more certain motivation than that, because we've got the very promise of Jesus to spur us on. You know, perhaps when you read the Bible, it seems like a dead letter to you. Perhaps it seems just unrewarding and dull. Maybe your spiritual life feels as dry as dust. It may be that you're parched for want of some real spiritual water, and the Bible just doesn't seem to be doing it. I don't know. Well, take this word of God as a promise to you to spur you on, because it tells you what the end result will be. Don't just read a passage and let it stop there, but dig into it, taste it, consider it, ask yourself, what is it saying to you? What are the implications for your life? Start praying through it and ask that God would work it out in your life. Now, you may be dry, I don't know, for a long time, but nevertheless, this is a promise from God. He will give you the knowledge of him. His word will bear fruit in you. Maybe it won't feel like it, I don't know, but it will bear fruit in you. Listen, because Jesus' words more than repay the efforts that you might put in. But there's one last reason Jesus gives for listening to him. In verses 26 to 32, just over the page. Basically, he's saying, listen, because whatever the appearances, God's kingdom is certainly coming. Listen, because whatever the appearances, God's kingdom is certainly coming. You might have heard in the papers or whatever recently about a book called The Meaning of Tingo, which records lots of foreign words that the author believes the English language misses out on. So it's got words like the Scottish for what I assume is their regular weather, showery, light, steady rainfall is apparently a ploughtery dreep. Or the Zambian, seka seka, which means to laugh without reason. And there's a word in Persian which is nakur, which means a camel that won't give milk until her nostrils have been tickled. Very useful in Norwich. And Kakakomi Josha from Japanese, which is rushing onto a train to beat the closing doors. Very useful in Tokyo and in London. And I really liked the Pidgin English one, which had a whole sentence to describe an accordion. An accordion is known as a lick-lick box. You pull him, he cry. You push him, he cry. And their word for rifle is big fella iron walking stick, him go bang along topside. And Prince Philip, when he visits Vanuatu, where they speak pidgin when they're talking to English people, he's addressed as old fella pili pili, him belong missy queen. And it sounds like a good, fun coffee table book, but in all honesty, we can probably get on okay in English without those words. But the seriousness of life on earth means that we can't possibly get along without the words of Jesus. We're living in the last days. People have been discussing it recently, perhaps in the papers, but most of the time, life goes on as normal, and it doesn't cross anyone's mind that it could end at any moment. It can, and it will. Jesus has told us the time is fulfilled. Time's up, folks. The kingdom of God is at hand. But the hiddenness of God's kingdom means that we might forget about it. We might be tempted to think it's not coming, or it's a long way off, it's not an urgent matter, it doesn't matter if I respond right now. God's new people, well, they don't stand out from the crowd, they don't really have halos, they don't glow or anything like that. It's a secret kingdom, but one day it will be seen by everyone. That's the gist of these two parables. In the first one, the parable of the growing seed, seeds get planted, and whatever else goes on, the kingdom keeps growing by the power at work in it. Though it happens slowly, it happens quietly, but one day the harvest will come. And the second parable, the mustard seed, the kingdom is like the most insignificant little seed, but it ends up as the largest plant of all. And truly, the gospel seems insignificant in our society today. No one cares what we're doing here this morning. But one day, it's going to be the only show in town. The word of God will do its work, and nothing can stop it. We need to make sure that we are those who've listened to God's word, that we're part of that harvest on that great day. That we are those who've taken shade in the branches of the mustard plant. There's an old David Bowie song, I'm revealing my tastes here, sorry. Some of you might know it, called 5 Years. And he pictures what it would be like if there were only 5 more years left for the earth to go. And how people would react to the news. And as he looks around and sees all kinds of things, he realises he's never going to see these things again. They just happen once and they're gone, and soon it will all be gone. And he says, my brain hurts. I had to cram so many things to store in there. He just wants to take it all in because the time is so short. Now, that's what God's saying to us today. Pay attention. The time is short. We don't know how short. It truly may come this week, this month, this year. We don't know. He doesn't want us to store up random memories of different experiences. He wants us to store up Jesus' words in our hearts. Listen, because whatever the appearance is, God's kingdom will certainly come.